Your words mean a lot. The Bible says there is within your tongue is power, great power of life and death.
Words will make a difference in your life, either for good or for bad. If you love, it says if you love it, for those who love it, those who get involved and really understand the power that's within their tongue. You know, people come in for marriage counseling. I must have counseled at least 2,000 or 3,000 people. Most of the time, their problems can be ironed out if they learn to control the tongue. But see, to control the tongue, you must control the heart. The Bible says in James that if you can control the tongue, you can be a perfect person. You can be complete. You can control the whole behavior. You can control your whole life. You can control your tongue. You say, yeah, but I know I lie sometimes. What is that? I tricked him. No, because you can only, with your tongue, you can say good things and not and have a bad heart, but in time, you will not be able to keep saying it. Your tongue will always, in the end, convey what's in your heart. You know, I look at the world as a cesspool of our communication. Isn't that true? Look at the world, all the crime and all the divorces and all the problems and all the inflation and everything. And really, when you think about it, it's a cesspool that has been communicated into the society. Communicated at home. Get out of here, I'm busy. Those words struck a note right down to the very heart. Or, honey, sweetheart, come here, baby. And then she knows daddy's reading the paper, boy. When daddy reads the paper, that paper's important. You know, the paper's important. And I imagine a little kid getting ready to go up to daddy's reading the paper. Daddy, you know, when you pull on, she knows that paper's important. Great big paper, you know. But you take it, you lay the paper down, you take time. Say, hey, sweetheart, what do you want, babe? Daddy loves you. Those words have a tremendous impact on that little girl's heart. And when that girl grows up and that boy grows up, they become a part of this society, and either for good or bad. Every time you spew out negativity, you're increasing the level of cesspoolage. Is there such a word? My English teacher over there keeps telling me I keep making up words. Well, if Webster can make them up, why can't I? They ain't got nothing on me. Amen. They ain't, do they ain't. But anyway, or you can wake up in the morning and you can start spreading a little love around. You can go into a waitress and she's got a frown on her face, and man, she's really mean. And you can look at her, you know, I appreciate that. I appreciate how you look after our table. I bet you really had a hard day, haven't you? She'll sit down and tell you her life story. Amen. You know? But the deal is, you can change it. I know, I do it on a day-to-day basis. Both ways. You thought you would say I did all right, didn't you? No, not I'm doing all right either. You know? But the point of it is, I see it happening. My sweet wife here, she's such a beautiful girl, and she usually has good days. About the only bad day she ever has is when I get gripey. So, honey, you made my day, honey. Thanks a lot. You know? But it does make a difference. And we've got to learn as Christians that being saved is not all there is to it. If we understand why we were created, then we'll go beyond that initial experience of salvation of just being saved, and we will have a life filled with God's love and God's life. But when we get all wrapped up and we think the only purpose we got is to lead people to the Lord all the time and just get them down the altar and let God take care of it, doesn't realize that does not even touch the purpose of God. That's only a beginning. That we're created for a purpose. In order to accomplish that purpose, we must bring into our salvation other things. And one of them is to harness the power of the tongue. Let's turn to Timothy and 2 and 14. 2 Timothy 2 and 14. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 2 and 14. That's in the Old Testament. Only got four laughs. That means the rest of you don't know where it's at. Okay. I got you. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to do no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Here it says that you can speak words that have no profit in a person's life, but will subvert a person. The word subvert in the Greek means to overturn them. To overturn them. Make them fall. Stumble aside and overturn. You can do that with your words. It goes on to say in verse 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of the Christ depart from sin. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor, and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these things, he shall be a vessel to honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. Now in that context there are some other types of sins, but one of them is the sin of the tongue. So we want to be used to the Lord. Oh, we want to bring honor to God. We want to have honor in our own life. We'd like to be something fulfilled in life, successful in life. Listen, it takes more than a desire to be successful in life. And one of the ground rules of being successful is get your tongue under command. Even in the secular world, that's important. Even in the secular world, it's important what you say. What you say will elevate you in life or will cause you to fall. Even no matter what kind of job you have, if it's a relationship with a wife or a husband or whatever, your tongue has great power in it. It will determine to a great degree your success and the honor you receive in life. And in verse 22, it says, flee also from youthful lust. Now when it says youthful lust, there's not talking about just sexual lust. It's talking about, boy, you've got all these emotions and they're just controlling you, just like we preached about Sunday. If you don't have that tape, and it's free, remember, but if you don't have that tape, you need to have it on a Christian must get control of his emotions. The world is controlled by emotions. A Christian should use their emotions as power and energy to propel them. They should be a slave to you. The emotions can be overwhelming. But we'll go on and says, but follow righteousness, faith, love, peace, and with them that call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. And it goes on down to verse 24 and says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and be patient in meekness, instructing them that oppose themselves. If God peradventure should give them repentance unto the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him and his will. What are we talking about there? At the end of that whole discourse, where he's talking about striving with words, what he's indicating there is that if you do not control your tongue, if you do not harness your tongue, that you will constantly find yourself snared by the devil. And also is indicating there, with your tongue, you can help free those who are constantly snared by the devil. How many know someone that seems like the devil gets the advantage of them every so often? Quite often. Yeah. What are you doing about it? Teresa? We'll pick on you, that pretty black dress there. You got black on for any particular reason, man. It is pretty. But what are you doing about it? Are you doing something positive to change a person's life that are, can you think of anybody that's kind of negative? Someone that just kind of rubs you wrong? What are you doing about it? Telling everybody or? What should you do about it? Say something positive to them, right? Do something. You can do that. Ron, what are you doing? I'll pick on all visitors. You don't know that around here, but, Ron, I don't know anything about you, but probably you're a normal guy. But what are you doing about it? You know anybody that's pretty negative, and man, they just rub you wrong, and it seems like the devil gets a hold of them every so often. What are you going to do about it? You can go around and say, man, that makes me mad. I'll clobber them and look at me again. Or you can say something to that person that will relieve the pressure in their life. You see, you can do that if you learn the art of it. The Bible says here that if you're gonna be a vessel of honor to good works, you're gonna have to learn that principle. In Proverbs 10:12. Let's turn to that. Proverbs 10:12. Praise God. Praise your Father. It says, hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. Hatred stirreth up strifes, and love covereth all sins. If you, and I want you to let God speak the word into your hearts now. Everyone listening, Barbara, you tuned in, got your ears on? Okay. How you doing? Do you cause strife? Or does your love cover up the mistakes people do and kind of ease the pain? What you think about that? How you treat people in your home, how you treat people live next door, how you treat Steve here, and I don't count him, how you treat other people, what you say. Are you causing division and strife and bitterness and negativity? Or are you bringing about a healing process? Think about that. Young people, you got to think about it. What are you doing? You know, with what you say. What about Tim over here? Tim, let's take the last couple weeks. What have you been doing when you've been talking to Steve? I'm going to take inventory here. Have you been causing strife? Or hey, you know, if the thing's not going your way or his way or other people's way, are you trying to bring a healing process? Or are you saying, yeah, I don't know what to do that for, you know? You think about it. You know, let's get down to some real tuning in to where you're at, Chris Moore. What are you doing? Are you working for the devil? Or are you working for God? You know, the Bible says if you don't gather with him, then you scatter. There's no neutrality. You either gather or you scatter. You're positive or you're negative. Amen? You pay one or the other. Here it says if you're causing strife, you got hate in your heart. If you're causing healing, you got love in your heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3, let's turn to that. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and verse 3 says, for you are not carnal, you are yet carnal, for as there is among you envy and strife, divisions, are you not carnal, and walk as men? Now, we already heard that the tongue can cause divisions and strife, right? Here it says if you got a tongue, it didn't mention tongue here, but it probably mentioned strife. If you got, you're causing strife and divisions, you're carnal. And what does it say in Romans 8:6 about people as carnal? Turn to Romans 8:6 real quick. It says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life. What does that mean? You're going to fall over dead? No. But when you're separated from God in spiritual death, you're miserable. Amen? You're stinking like an old dead corpse, and everybody around you can smell you. You know how they can smell you? How you act and what you say. And, or, it says here, you can be the opposite. You can be spiritually minded and you're going to have peace in your mind. Where's your peace at? John, you got peace? Piece of peace? You got a piece of peace, huh? If you don't have peace, take inventory and find out why you don't have peace. A lot of it comes from your tongue. It's a great part of it. Praise the Lord. The Bible says in Matthew 12:26 that even every useless word that you speak, you're going to have to keep account of. That we should be so in tune to the Spirit of God that we don't even waste our words. But our words always bring forth life and always bring forth sweetness. Praise God. Now, what happens when a person's using words of strife, James 3:14 tells us, is because you got worldly wisdom. Your smarts aren't so smart. In James 3:14 it says, but if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth from, not from above, from the earthly things. It's devilish. People are proud when they're going around talking negative. They're projecting out, you know, they're trying to be little judges. They're so miserable on the inside, they're making everybody else miserable. And it means that your wisdom comes from the devil, it doesn't come from God. You're not very smart if you're talking negative. Everyone wants to be smart. Everybody thinks they're so smart. Well, let's find out how smart you are, Angie. You're smart if you're spreading love and sensitivity. But what we find nowadays so many times, even in the Church of God, that we find negativity being spread with the tongue. Let God speak in here. Now I'm talking to you, I'm not preaching at you. We've got to get it straightened up. Amen. If we're going to ever be the unified body that's going to touch the world, we're going to have to live it. And there's no talking about it and preaching about it and going away and not doing it. You can't run and hide. Right? It shows up like a sore thumb. And there's too much negative talking in this church. Ron, I'm sorry to tell you that. You know, I like to tell you it's perfect. You know. But we just don't have it together. Too much negative talking. Yeah, but it's true. Yeah. So what? Still negative. Listen, people. You've got such good hearts. You're such beautiful people. God's called us to do such a beautiful thing, Rebecca. Let's get a tongue of sugar. Okay? Sweetness. Let's don't spread gossip. Let's don't criticize people, even if they deserve it. And remember this. That there, whatever bothers you about them, now get this now, don't lose this. Grandma, you listen? Whatever bothers you about them, bothers them. Got it? Whatever bothers you about them, bothers them. You got the same enemy. All sin and negativity is both people's enemy, even the one that's doing it. So why make it worse? Why not help bring healing into a heart and use your tongue as a weapon of righteousness? In Romans chapter 6, it says, yield your members as weapons or instruments of righteousness. If in this church today we make a commitment from here on out, it's going to be all positive communication, you'd be surprised how many people's problems would fade away by the end of the month. Do you really know that? Positive reinforcement. Believe in himself, believing in others, edifying others, edifying self, edifying kids. Find a new way to talk to your children and knock things over. Hey, you dummy! Oh, you did it! You broke Mama's pretty thing, man! How you doing, sweetheart? I didn't know you came in. What's your name?
Lisa.
Yes, sir. Nice to have you, sweetie. Praise God. What kind of tongue you got? You got a sour tongue or you got a sweet one? Now, you don't have to tell me. Praise the Lord. Okay, well, I'm about finished now, so just tune in, Mary. What are you doing, Mary? Are you negative or are you positive? In between. Boy, I don't want to be suspended between heaven and hell. Woo! You know, you ever get over a burner? Your hand gets pretty hot. You know, you don't have to be in the fire to get hot. There's no in-betweeners. If you're in between, you're on the other side. Amen? Praise God. Boy, I should have burst. You didn't. That's all right, though. Praise the Lord. So, listen, I believe we're going to do it. Amen? I believe we're going to be more positive. And I believe that we're going to start thinking about edifying people, lifting them up. And listen, Christianity is a lot more than just, you know, just a born-again experience. Let's let God express His life into our life. Listen, it's no fun living unless you have God's life flowing through you. The fullness of it. I like to wake up every day on top of the world. How about you? Amen. And the tongue has a lot to do with it. Every time you lash out at somebody else, guess whose ear is listening? Your own. Amen. Every word you giveth out, you receive. Every word you giveth out, you receive. And it does poison to your own heart. Praise God. Okay, is there any questions tonight on the sermon? Any questions or input? You got something you want to add? Yes, Mike? Well, you know, I tried for a few years, Mike. It's got me in a lot of trouble. No, there's no way. That's what people are trying to do. People try to be neutral, you see. The Bible's clear on things. You've got to be hot, you've got to be cold. If you think you're neutral, God will say, well, I'll let you know you're not. I'm sorry about that, but that's what they did in the Bible. Spew you out. That's right. Most people don't realize who they serve. Even a lot of born-again Christians actually serve Satan in their actions. Isn't that sad? That's sad. I hate to be working for the United States and working, but my actions brought about victory for Russia. You know what I mean? You can be a citizen of this country and be working for the Russians. And that's about the way it is with Satan. If you're doing negativity, you're working for Satan as far as the way you're acting. There's no in between. Let's read one more scripture. We'll call this to get some more questions ready. Now I'll stay for questions. But let's look to 1 John. 1 John. Chapter 3. Verse 14. We know that we have passed from death and life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Chapter 4. In verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God, but he that loveth not knoweth not God, period. Period. Well, I've been born again, but I give my heart to the Lord. The Bible didn't say we're born again in that scripture. If you have love, you're of God. If you don't, you're serving the devil. Well, okay, I'll just give up then. I thought I was trying my best. Come on. People tell me all the time. They try to use that psychology on you. They get mad at you. You're telling them, hey, you know something. They say, well, okay, I've done my best. And if that's not good enough, I'll give up. I'll go jump in the lake of fire. Come on. That's what they're telling me. Well, let's go jump in the lake of fire. Then you're just trying to get me to say it's okay. It's not okay. You either love or you don't love. You don't love, you're not of God, period. Okay? You can have a bad day once in a while. We'll let you have that. But if your consistent nature is spreading about negativity, you better get on your knees and make sure you got the right master. Amen? Ginger. Not really. Man. People are just goofed up, confused, mixed up. They think they do. They've been hurt so much to try to strike back at people. And that way they like to do evil. But usually people, I tell you what, people just need to open their eyes. Yes. Oh, God forgives. Yeah, God's good. Shame on you. I have too. Now, God curse, God forgives. God forgives all these sins. Listen, you know, God's beautiful and wonderful, but you got to be a repentance. And the word repentance is metanos in the Greek, change of mind. We've got to say, hey, I don't want to be this way. I want to be that way. God, I trust you to perform this in my life, and I willfully submit unto you. And we do it on a daily basis. Amen? God forgives and forgives and forgives and forgives. Anybody else got anything you want to add, or you want to have you got a question or anything? Praise God. Tina, I want you to get up now and give me the 10 points that I just gave. Could you give them to me? Oh, she said, yeah, I only had 8. Oh, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, babe. You was listening, wasn't you? Now, when we build another church, I don't like to sit up here. Because every time I walk down the aisle, I lose everybody up here, right? So I'm going to build it in the kind of a circle way. That way I can move anywhere and I got you all inside. Praise God. Yeah. Who's clapping? I like Clinton. He'll clap at anything. Okay. Praise the Lord. Okay, we're going to dismiss now. Neil, why don't you get that song out that I love so much about we'll stand together or something, and we're going to sing and I know what it's all about, but I tell you what, I appreciate everybody being so tuned in. Praise God. Ron, again, it's nice to have you tonight, buddy. I hear you play the bass guitar. Well, you get that old sanctified guitar out. We'd like to use that. Praise God. And you gonna bring your numbers down for tomorrow night? Good. Praise God. Praise the Lord. What are we